your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Hey, just a little man helping man this morning. And this particular email for renewal does not come to my email. It goes to the lucky lady. But I did not realize this until yesterday. They're already renewing basketball season tickets. So check your email or whomever it goes to. The deadline, and nobody's paying me to do this, I'm just trying to help you all out. The deadline to renew is May the 17th. So, at any rate, I saw that yesterday and went, hey, lucky lady, did you get that? And she checked her email and bada bing, bada boom. And so we renewed our season tickets for next year. So already, get you going, get you in.
All right. So I mean, glad to know you're good.
Well, I mean, just wanted to alert others, because sometimes those things sneak up on you and went, whoa, wait, oh, hey, oh, didn't know that was going on.
Notice how Chuck makes sure that we find out after he takes care of his, so he can jump in front of anybody who's trying to.
No. You can't jump. You can't jump yet.
Well, he didn't have a show last night, so technically he couldn't.
Wow. No, again, just. Just trying to be helpful.
I like that he's not dragging his feet. Got it taken care of.
Right. Yeah. Just trying to.
Lady got it taken care of.
She did.
Chuck didn't. Chuck just made sure that she saw the email.
I directed her to take care of that for us. I said, could you do that? I don't know what in the world is going on with all this, with all these. Maybe I should tap the brakes just a little bit when I tell you this story. But it just seems like there's been a number of problems with charter planes and basketball teams this year. UConn headed to the Final Four, okay, right? They're going to be there this weekend in Arizona. They were supposed to take off last night at 5 o'clock, but the plane coming in from Kansas City apparently had mechanical and logistical issues, according to the head coach, Dan Hurley. He told this to CBS Sports. So when the flight crew was coming in, they would be over its hours if they flew the Huskies out right away. Their earliest contingency plan was then to fly a smaller plane that would then take off at about 12:45 Eastern time, which would get into Glendale about 5 a.m. Eastern time, which is after a fuel stop about 2 o'clock in the morning Pacific time. And another charter flight isn't available in the next 5 hours. It just seems crazy to me that they have this challenge. I don't know what the total issues were, because I wasn't on this flight, but like the Lady Raiders had a problem getting home from Norman because of a charter flight, had a problem getting home from TCU because of a charter flight. The men had delays. You had a delay. I think your delay was weather more than it was a plane issue.
It was 100% about the weather.
Yeah, it wasn't a plane issue. But it just seems like there's been a number of plane issues, and maybe it's just all a coincidence and there's simple explanations for them. But getting a team to a Final Four.
Yeah, no, I understand that that's not ideal and all that good stuff. But like in the same situation with the baseball team, by the time that the weather had passed, the flight crew had timed out.
Timed out, right. Okay? Yeah.
And so there are rules that are put in place to, I mean,
for
obviously
safety. Yeah.
For safety reasons,
sure.
That, again, not ideal, but you'd rather that, right?
Oh, absolutely. It just kind of slays me a little bit that there wasn't another one that they could. I mean, I realize those things aren't just sitting around waiting for, you know, teams to get on planes to go. But I mean, you're going to the Final Four,
right? But Chuck, you don't like use the crappy planes when you just have a midweek contest that you're flying to. But you use the good planes when it's to the Final Four. You know, the ones that have a tendency to crash, we'll use those for just middle of the conference season. But the ones that are certain to work, we'll save those for the Final Four. It doesn't really work that way.
I understand that. It just kind of blew me away when I saw that they were having trouble getting to Glendale. I mean, I realize for them, it's flying clear across the country. So anyway, it just seemed, like I said, because it was the Final Four and because it's, you know, there was no backup. It's not like they could have a
backup. I guess
they're
just not basketball fans, Chuck. The pilots, I mean.
Yeah, the confusing part to me is that, like, so they fly in and they find out that there's mechanical issues or whatever.
Whatever the issue is. Right?
Yeah, that there's not another charter company that could be there within, you know, 5 hours. Or
yeah,
whatever.
I mean, we're not talking like, I mean, we're talking, you know,
that's the
Connecticut,
part that's surprising to me.
You know, pretty populous area. They got a lot of airports there. But anyway, it is what it is.
I guess, you know, most of those things probably locked up and,
yeah,
you know, they've scheduled out ahead of time and all that good stuff.
Sure. Anyway, just kind of caught my eye and just, oh, I thought that would spark a little interest.
Well, sometimes you have to adjust, right?
Yeah. So they probably had
a practice there and instead. And
yeah.
Because I wouldn't have guessed it would have been the right idea to have the guys fly there and get there at 5 in the morning.
Yeah, their time. With regard to basketball, dang, Chuck, I haven't even finished my taxes yet. Well, man, you better get on the stick. It's coming up April 15th every year. Got to get going. Somebody says there is a crew and plane availability issue for, quote, team-sized planes. Okay.
Oh, okay. See, yeah. there's some information you didn't know.
Some knowledge, right. Mm-hmm. Just not stating, you know, hypotheses and stuff like that. I think I'd be pretty good at hypothetical situations or, you know, maybe declarations without any facts behind them, right?
No, that you're very good at.
Yeah.
100%.
That's called the morning drive.
Would that make me maybe a pretty good politician? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. It might make me.
I think you would be a perfect politician.
You do?
I think you'd be terrific.
Could I be? I wouldn't want to start out small. I would want to be like a senator or a congressman right away.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would, you know, it's just like go straight to the top.
Why would you not?
6:40 this morning here on the morning drive. Thank you for being with us today on Lubbock Sports Station T97.3.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from T97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Time for this day in sports history. Today is the fourth day of April 2024. Here is Jeff McGuire.
You're going to start in 1948, guys. 84-year-old Connie Mack challenges 78-year-old Clark Griffin to a race from home to first base. I don't know why. I didn't want to do any research. I thought it was just enough to hear the story. It ended up being a tie.
Would be better if it was Clark Griswold that he had challenged to race.
Sure.
I think he told us that story last year, and I think I gave the same dumb line last year.
Doesn't mean it wasn't funny last year. Doesn't mean it's not funny this year.
I just hear, you hear the name Clark. I mean, right. Clark, anything else, sure. And you're thinking Griswold, right?
Sure.
At least I am.
I wonder if Connie Mack wore
his suit.
Or Kent.
Kent would be the other one. Yeah. But yeah, Griswold is first.
Yeah.
Did you know that Connie Mack wore a suit when he managed baseball games?
I did know that. Mm-hmm.
1974, Hank Aaron ties Babe Ruth's home run record by hitting his 714th in Cincinnati, facing Jack Billingham. Excuse me.
And then they sat him for a couple of days, so he could hit that game-winning or the record-breaker in Atlanta.
Okay.
1985, Tulane University cancels its basketball season amongst a point-shaving scandal.
What year?
1985.
85.
1988, the 50th NCAA Men's Basketball Championship. I just want to make this being clear. I'm being very nice to Chuck and letting him crow a little bit. Kansas beats Oklahoma 83-79. Jayhawks power forward Danny Manning named tournament most outstanding player.
It was 50-50 at the half of that game on the 50th anniversary of the Final Four.
Okay.
1993. Big day. Big, big day.
This is a Cheryl Swoops.
This is a Cheryl Swoops scoring 47 points.
Cutting down the nets.
Leading the Lady Raiders to their first NCAA national championship title, 84-82 over Ohio State. Suck it, the Ohio State.
Yeah, that was a Sunday that they won that on.
And in 2021, the 39th NCAA Women's Basketball Championship took place. Stanford Cardinal beat the Arizona Wildcats, future Big 12 team, 54-53 for their third NCAA title. It is National Cordon Bleu Day, which is just basically chicken and cheese.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it is.
I am completely out on the Cordon Bleu. I mean,
is there...
It's a special kind of cheese, but it's chicken and cheese.
Yeah, there's...
You like stuff the cheese in the chicken.
Yeah, that's the part I don't like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
there's something funky going on in there that I'm not into. Whatever that cream cheese filling is, I'm out.
It's fancy food. I mean, there's no doubt.
I love a piece of chicken with cheese on it, though.
I mean...
We could just not stuff the chicken with anything. I prefer that.
It's also international...
And I can stuff it into my mouth.
It's also International Carrot Day. So go find a French carrot.
I love me some carrots.
Do you?
Yeah, like I mean, got to be plain, like
raw,
plain, raw,
yeah.
Right?
Not cooked.
I don't love them cooked at all, okay. But I like them raw. Yeah.
Happy birthday to Robert Downey Jr., who is 59. Jamie Lynn Spears, 33. Graham Norton, 61. Craig T. Nelson is 80. Landry Jones, 35. Ben Gordon, 41. Former Ranger Martin Perez is 33, and Scott Rowland is 49.
Almost sounded like you said Jamie Lynn Spears, but it was Jamie Lynn Spears.
Spears. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny because I have a friend that I play tennis with who calls me Jamie Lynn. Yeah.
On this day, not a good day, 1968.
Why is that funny?
Well, it's just because we've had this, every day is gloom and doom. This is a really bad, what he's getting ready to tell you though is really, really bad. Really, really bad.
We're done with laughing now?
We're done with laughing.
Okay, because this is not a laughing matter.
No, I know.
1968. Martin Luther King Jr. is fatally shot while standing on the balcony outside of his second story room at the hotel in Memphis, Tennessee. Civil rights leader was in Memphis to support a sanitation worker strike and was on his way to dinner when a bullet struck him in the jaw, severing his spinal cord. He was pronounced dead after his arrival at the Memphis hospital. He was 39 years old.
Yes.
And that is this day in sports history.
Thank you, Jeff.
I could have brought you the happy story today, but it was ridiculous as opposed to major event in U.S. history.
Right. No, you're right. And James Earl Ray, who shot and killed and assassinated Martin Luther King, went then on the lam, and it took him 2 months to find him.
Oh, wow.
And he was finally captured in London, but it was like one of the most expensive hunts for a felon and a alleged suspect, and they knew who he did it at that time in the history of the FBI. But yeah, it took a long time to capture him. And among those standing next to Martin Luther King that day was the Reverend Jesse Jackson. I mean. And he was obviously a very, very young man at that point in time, but just kind of crazy some of the circumstances that went with that. With regard to chicken cordon bleu, it's ham and Swiss stuffed in a chicken breast and deep fried with déjeuners. Is that right, Jeff?
Déjeuners, that's correct.
Yeah, okay. But the ham in addition to the cheese, Jamie.
I'm fine with ham.
Stuffed in the chicken?
I'm fine with that. Yeah, it's the Swiss cheese I don't like.
Okay. And probably the Dachshund.
You like
too.
Swiss cheese?
Not really.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah. Very specific situations.
Okay.
Not really. I mean, really the only cheese I eat is on pizza. That's pretty much it.
What about your macaroni?
I liked my macaroni plain, to be honest with you. Why is that so funny?
Well, because it's Kraft cheese and macaroni. That's,
I know, but I don't care for that. Let's see, a couple things here from earlier this morning. The reason why the Detroit Tigers only played two games Robert says the last two nights the Tigers and Mets have been rained out.
I knew the Mets were dealing with that. I forgot they were playing the Tigers. Yeah.
He also asked this question, Chuck Hines. What would you be one of those mobbed up senators? What would your name go by? No, it just would be Senator Hines. That was very.
No, you can't be called Senator Hines when you're being recorded by the FBI. It's got to be something like, you know. It'd be Charles the Mouth.
Oh.
Or the Shaker.
It would be the Arkansas Flat Base.
Marquise, Red Raider Two Guns, asks, are you a fan of the Monte Cristo? Are you a fan of the Monte Cristo?
Not really.
Yeah, not me. Me neither.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Good morning with Jamie Lynn, Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. Great to have you with us today on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. We get this from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. If I hear someone say RSBI, I am immediately walking away and never talking to that person again, at least about baseball. JL, please kill Chuck's mic and put him in timeout.
We can't do that. We might want to. It might sound like a really, really good plan.
Mm-hmm.
But if we turn Chuck's mic off, we'll all sit here in silence waiting for the show to start.
This from Syntex Hank. Oh, Chuck, you don't use the first and last letter of a word when you're creating an abbreviation for a phrase. It's not RSBI, first letter only, RBI, Syntex Hank. Yeah, okay. Well, it's point taken. Point taken. Texas Tech will take on the University of Houston tomorrow in Big 12 baseball. We'll have it for you at 6 with the warm-up show, play-by-play at 6:30. Saturday is a 1:30 start time, 2 o'clock first pitch, and Sunday, 12:30 warm-up show start time and 1 o'clock first pitch. Houston comes into this game, this series rather, with a record of 16-12 and 4-8. They have played in the Big 12 so far this season. They've played Baylor. They won 3 games against Baylor. That's been their best outing. They lost 2 of 3 in Provo to BYU, and then faced Kansas State. Lost all 3 games to K-State. That was in Houston. And they're coming off of a series in which they lost all 3 games to TCU. And their most recent
game. Really got thumped at TCU.
Yeah, they lost 14-1 on Thursday, 6-2 on Friday, and 6-4 on Saturday. They helped TCU get right, so to speak. Maybe not completely. They are coming off of a win over Rice, 4-3 on Tuesday. Just like your 30,000-foot view of Houston, Jamie.
Yeah, I think there's some good pieces there. I think this has the potential because of the hotbed of recruiting of baseball players in the Houston area.
Mm-hmm.
I think this has the potential, now that they're in the Big 12, to become a good program added to the conference. I think UCF went the route of we're gonna turn this around immediately with a bunch of transfers and be a really old team. I don't think Houston has gone that same route, but I do think they're going to be a good add baseball-wise to our conference. It's just going to take, you know, a few years for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think right now they're obviously, you can see where they are in the standings, and you just listed off those things. They're not terrible. They're not great. They're kind of right there with, with a lot of teams in this conference that probably feel like there's some games they should have won that they didn't. But you know, they took care of business against Baylor, which is something you didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they're a team that's, you just feel like playing at home that you absolutely, you know, you really, if you're going to get this thing turned around and get to the point where you think you're, you know, competing, and I don't think you're too far off right now as far as, you know, being a postseason team, but this is one of the series where you feel like if you're going to be a postseason team, you need to take advantage of playing this team at home.
I mean,
where you've played much better.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. because I don't know what you're, when you look at things, when you look at an approach to, like, you're getting ready for a series, especially with a team like Houston, do you look at, like, team stats? Do you look at anything, same thing, like, do you look at right away, like, do you look at runs scored versus runs given up, or strikeouts versus walks, or what kind of things do you like to look at just when you go to size up a team, knowing that obviously the schedule that they play versus what you're playing or teams that you may not totally match up, but just kind of an overview?
Well, the first thing I look at is the schedule. I look at what's their level of competition, mm-hmm. and what have they done against other, you know, power five quality teams. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing I look at. And then I would say the ERA is definitely one of them, batting average one of them. And then, you know, I'll look, hey, is this a team that's loaded with a bunch of home run hitters? And so I like to look at that too. But, you know, really the first thing for me is the schedule and see what kind of competition they've played and how they've done against good teams.
So this is a team that's batting 369. Their opponents are batting 336. And this is also a team that scored 175 runs. They've given up 133 runs.
And where are you getting the 369 from?
I'm just looking at their stats on their on their sheet. I'm looking. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. That was on base percentage. I'm sorry. I thought it was their average.
FM has a 261.
Yeah,
average.
Yeah, 261 average. Right. I'm sorry. I looked at the wrong column. When I scrolled down, it didn't. I just looked at it wrong. 261 versus 245 for them. So what's a good team batting average?
If you're looking for the team, college baseball, you know, it's around 290 and above. Yeah.
Okay. And then when you look at it from an opponent standpoint, it's either A, the opponents haven't been very good, or the pitching has been stout.
Yeah, and I would tell you in college baseball, if your team ERA is under 4, then that's a pretty solid pitching staff, and you see that theirs is 3.9.
Okay. So and their opponents has been over 6. So mm-hmm. Anyway, so I just was curious about how you approached that and looked at that. I think what you said about Houston and being a hotbed, being, you know, kind of fertile from a recruiting standpoint, that makes a lot of sense. Because see a lot of kids come out of Houston playing at other schools, and so if mm-hmm. they could keep them at home. So, man,
we've got plenty on our team from the Houston area.
Oh, and when you think about what Houston has done early on, you know, obviously basketball power coming in, and they proved themselves this year clearly with winning the Big 12, at least the regular season. You know, a deep run in the NCAA, probably an injury away from making it to a Final Four. Other teams can say those kinds of things too, but I mean that Houston basketball program is kind of here to stay.
It appears that way.
Yeah, and you know, can they get football going? That's always the question for schools, right?
Especially all the things that your boy Calvin was getting in trouble for before is now allowed.
Yeah,
so
right.
Why he should be golden.
Why is he my boy?
I don't know.
He's not my boy. So your thoughts on their schedule? What's your take on their schedule?
Well, I mean, at this point, we can just look at the Big 12 games
sure.
and pay attention
yeah.
to that at
mm-hmm.
this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
you're that deep into it, right?
Yeah. So you know, you see what they did against Baylor, and they swept,
early.
And you lost a series to mm-hmm. Baylor. BYU, they go up there and play and don't play great there. They get really punished by TCU, and like somebody on the chat line said, okay, well, TCU took advantage of them not playing very well right now, and you got to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the Kansas matchup, I think Kansas is a good baseball team this year. So
K-State.
I'm sorry, K-State, yes. So not surprised to see them lose that series. So, I mean, it's a, you know, they obviously, since they swept Baylor, though, it's been a struggle for them. So you have to keep the struggles going.
Keep the struggles going.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, Houston had a good baseball team. Don't know what happened to that program. Yeah. I mean, they bounced around from conference to conference. That can't help.
No.
You know, but
probably not.
Now they're
in and forever Rice dominated that area, and so that was a difference too.
Yeah.
The Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Time now for Jamie's question of the day on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
All right, we're going to take a little risk here.
Oh, wow.
A little bit of a risk. But cross your fingers. Never know what you're going to get. I'm going to ask a Tech baseball question.
Okay.
If you could change or make the Red Raiders improve on one stat that you feel like is going to help them get to, that they really need to improve on to get to the postseason, which stat needs to change for this team to kick it up a notch and take it to a different level?
Man, the low-hanging fruit is hitting with runners in scoring position. I was trying to come up with something a little bit different. I'll tell you one thing that I would like to see change. I would like to see your starters, in addition to, I mean, Kyle Robinson's been really good as a starter. I'd like to see your starters for the Friday, Saturday, Sunday guys get through five innings. If you could average getting your starters through five innings, I think that would exponentially help your relievers and your pitching and your ability to put your closer in at the strongest point of the game, which is in the ninth inning, if you needed them to. So I'm gonna say the average start lasting at least five innings.
Okay.
Is that a better answer than what you expected?
No, that's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
I don't know if I just want to go more runs scored, because that's been one of the frustrating things about this team is they haven't, and it goes with the runners in scoring position, but just in general, even if there weren't runners in scoring position, you're allowed to score without having runners in scoring position. It just makes it easier. Or do I want to go the other side of this? And I think that's where I'm leaning more. Because you have pitched well enough in these games that you should have a better record than you do, but you have not fielded well enough to take advantage of that. So I'm going to go fielding percentage. Let's start making the routine plays. Let's start making them easy. Let's start getting those every outs that you should be getting as opposed. And it's not just kicking a ball or the errors that are causing this, but it's not making the right play, not making the simple play, not making the Tadlock era what we have seen and take care of the baseball. You know, your pitchers have done well enough, your defense has let you down. Let's flip that. Let's get that fixed.
Yeah, I think you make a great point there. And one of the things that you said is sometimes it's not just about errors. If I told you that you've given up 173 runs this year, how many would you guess were unearned?
On a normal year, I'd say 30 or 40.
Okay, well, there's only 15 that are unearned. Only 15. That's a little bit surprising to me, okay? So what that means is there's been a lot of plays that weren't made that don't go down as errors that should have been made. Okay, does that make sense?
And there's also the other side of that, too, where it goes initially as an unearned run, but because you can't get out of the inning, they become earned runs. And I feel like we've seen that a lot this year, too.
Yes, that has happened. I mean, the play against BYU on Thursday night, where of the grand slam, only one of those runs is unearned, okay? But should have been out of the inning with none allowed. Okay, so, but the double play wasn't turned and all the above. So anyway, I think Jeff is, I think that's a good answer as well. I think both of your answers are fine. I'm going to be a little bit different than you guys. I think that hitting with runners in scoring position, Chuck touched on the low hanging fruit there. I think that's a fair one as well. For me, I'm going on base percentage. I feel like this team has not, compared to years past, has not created enough just havoc on the base paths. And I'm not saying running all over the place or anything like that. Truth be told, you're 32 for 34. You're running a bunch. Okay? You're doing a great job stealing bases. You just don't have enough traffic out there on the base pass. Give yourself an opportunity to have more chances with runners in scoring position. I just don't feel like we're getting enough guys on base, and I don't know if that means we're not taking as many walks as we have in years past. I mean, your walks so far this year are 178 compared to you've struck out 217 times. You'd like that number to be 1-for-1, or you'd like it to be above 1-for-1, and it's below. I think if you get more guys on base, you get pitchers feeling more pressured. You get, you know, infielders not able to shift all the time, or you get them moving because guys are, you know, playing closer to the bag because they're, you know, there's a guy on first and they've got to get to second quicker, and that opens up more holes. I just think there's so much positive that comes with getting a bunch of guys on base. And I don't think you're doing enough of that right now. You're hitting a lot of home runs. At times you're able to get base hits and do those kind of things, but you just don't have enough guys on base for that to lead into runs. So to me, that's what really needs to improve moving forward.
You can almost flip that walks of what you've walked versus what you've gotten.
Say it again.
I said, if you flipped it, in other words, if you walked your opponents less and you walked yourself more, if you took more pitches, that helps you get on base more.
Sure.
Flip it. I mean, sure. You know, your opponents have walked 178 times. Texas walked 126. Am I reading that right or am I reading that wrong?
You're reading that opposite.
Opposite of what it is? Okay.
You've walked 178 times.
So the opponents have given up 178 walks. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. I was reading that going, okay, what if you just flip that? But that's not the case.
All right. The team on base percentage is .431. I don't think that's terrible, but I think it could be higher.
Okay.
Yep.
The other team could make some errors for you, too, and help you get on base.
And we shouldn't have to try to rely on that, though.
I know. I understand. You said it was a dangerous question, so I was just trying to help you out with that a little bit.
I think we survived it.
Almost did, anyway.
The Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
8:01 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Good morning with Jamie Lent and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. We come to you this morning, as per usual, from our First United Bank spot studio. First United, from our spots in the First United Bank studio, our seats.
Do we need to try that again?
Yeah.
Right,
this is the Morning Drive on Double T 97.3 and Fox 34 News Now.
Hey, good morning. It is 8:02 this morning here on the Morning Drive with Jamie Lent and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. We come to you from our usual spots here in the First United Bank studio and look forward to hearing from you today on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Go to DoubleT973.com for that, or the mobile app, Visual Edge IT Hotline.
We'll fix that in post. You'll be fine.
Okay, great. Visual Edge IT Hotline is open too at 806-771-0973. Jamie, if we were to stop 1,000 cars here at, 6th and Avenue O, it'd be easy to do that right now with all the construction that's going on with the streets and the paving and things along those lines. So people have idle time to be able to chit-chat while they're waiting on the stoplights and the construction workers to get out of the way. If you were to ask them, what is your concern level now knowing that Baron Morton has been shut down for the spring? And maybe the choice would be, are you concerned or are you not? Just to make it easy. What do you think
are we allowed to also tell him that Coach McGuire said if we had a game Saturday,
sure,
he would be the starter?
Sure.
I would think their concern 5 months out would not be extremely high.
Okay. And that was an interesting part of that, you know, release yesterday, because I was, you know, the way that I was reading that initially, is I didn't necessarily read that as he's available to play a game today. I just read that as he would be the starting quarterback, meaning that there was no controversy as to who the starting quarterback was. The question is, if there were a game today, is he healthy enough to play that game? And I guess I'm guessing by that statement that that is what he feels like going on right now. And I have no reason to doubt that. Mm-hmm. I have no reason to doubt that. But when he says first and foremost, if we were to play a game today, Baron Morton would be our starting quarterback. This decision was made in the best interest of Baron's health going into next season. Baron will resume full football activities later this summer. And by later this summer, generally after the spring game, they give them time to get ready for finals and a little bit of a break and then really start hitting it and getting it around the 1st of June or so, whenever the summer sessions begin. You know, they'll have a move in, everybody will be getting, and then it's like, okay, it's game on for football now with, you know, the new kids that are coming in, you know, the ones that didn't, you know, come in at semester, at least from the high school standpoint, or the transfers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he has been a full participant in 6 practices. His final workout was this past Friday, in which he was involved in the team scrimmage, threw for 140 yards and 2 touchdowns with the first group in the scrimmage. His spring completion percentage was 70% over all team periods. Okay, so basically what they're wanting to do is make sure that he can be 100% or as close to it as possible for the start of the season.
Correct.
It makes sense. I mean, mm-hmm. makes sense. Should we be concerned that and what you know is that, you know, he had that shoulder injury that may have been maybe a little bit more serious than what we knew.
I think we can take the maybe out of this now.
Yeah.
We're 4 months past the end of the season.
Yeah.
We can take the maybe out.
Mm-hmm.
And he played on it last year. We all saw it last year where it felt like he was kind of limited at times.
Mm-hmm. And that limited the offense as well.
And, you know, we heard all through the end of the season where Morton wasn't necessarily practicing with the team every week, but he was healthy enough to play during the games on Saturday, which mm-hmm. is why he was still your starting quarterback and still commanded the offense better without practicing than what they thought anybody else could do. And we kind of saw some evidence of that later in the season. But for a level of concern, it's all the extra work that he's not getting with these guys that he didn't get last year either that has me concerned. And it's been 4 months. Is this like a 6-week thing that they're just resting and they're going to do a couple of different rehab stretches or whatever? Like, I don't even know. Are they doing something different the next 6 weeks to make it better that they haven't been doing because they were trying to keep him ready for spring? Like, that's the concerning part, is that it's 4 months later and he's still hurt.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I'm with you on that. That it's still an issue here since the bowl game, because it's really.
You would have guessed it would have been he'd have been healthy by now.
Yeah, yeah. That's really what the thought was. But I mean, mm-hmm. he himself said, and we've talked about this at the start of the spring, that he still wasn't 100%. So it was a grade 3 AC joint sprain that he had on his throwing shoulder. It happened against West Virginia, which was also the same game that, you know, Tyler Shuck got knocked out of as well.
Correct.
So, I mean, you had a double whammy there.
Because of all of that, we got beat by a left-handed quarterback that couldn't throw his way out of a wet paper bag.
Yeah, yeah.
And it still irks me.
Right. Still irks you. I'm with you, man. No, you're...
That was one we should have got.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, Morton, we have to remember, was the most outstanding offensive player of the Independence Bowl as he went for 259 yards and 3 touchdowns in that win over California. So,
mm-hmm.
This from the 8 Sporting Center chat line, Morton's shoulder being injured. I don't know about injured again. I think still suffering from that injury is a concern, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about injured again because he's not taking a hit. So I think, again, what we talked maybe about an hour ago, maybe it's a tired shoulder, too. I mean, you can have that as well, tired arm from maybe. Throwing. But
we also talked all last season where he went, one of the things we kept bringing up was that he didn't spend the offseason as the starting quarterback, working with the ones, getting, you know, knowing that he was the guy. And that was kind of what some people were saying was the reason that he wasn't being as successful as we would expect him to be, being the starting quarterback at that point. Well, now he's not getting that because he's not playing right now. So at some point, this is starting to catch up with himself, with not being able to play. And that's where my concern is.
Yeah, and my concern is going to be if he's not able to, you know, depending on what you're able to do in the summer. I mean, you want to be 100% by whatever the date is that they're all reporting and getting ready, and they're spending time over at the football field and stadium, you know, throwing balls and getting timing down with his receiver.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.